25.
The day is July 25th, 2011. We have scheduled a meeting prior to the traditional opening at 9 o'clock because our agenda is so jammed with Board of Equalization every day, and we're trying to get as much in as possible this morning. So this morning we're meeting with Bob Ashley and Ron Erickson regarding purchasing slash hazardous mitigation. And if you gentlemen would like to start... I used your title, Ron. I could P and Z up, but I think that's what we're talking about.
Right.
What you have for us real quickly.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I'm here before you this morning to discuss really two items, one wearing my purchasing hat and one wearing my hazardous litigation hat. And we'll start with that topic first so that Mr. Ashley can participate in what we have to say and then head out while I take on the second item. With respect to my hazardous mitigation hat, SEMA has recommended that we seek assistance either from the Council of Local Governments or a specialist in the field of hazardous litigation. And that's what we're here to go over, some of the details of what we've discovered regarding that.
And the Council of Local Governments that they're pushing you towards specifically is working with Diane May, is that right?
Correct.
Yes.
For edification of the other two county commissioners, I had an opportunity to talk to both Ron and Bob in what we're all are hoping we can move forward as quickly as possible is what's happening with our flood victims. And if you gentlemen would like to start, I know that Council of Local Governments, of which I've been involved in, has been called upon, have received some funding that we might receive a share of. And I wish you all would talk about that, because if, in fact, that's possible, I think we need to get started as soon as possible.
Well, we've been speaking with Diane May over the last week or two, and Diane May applied for some community development block grant funds, and they were specifically for hazard mitigation planning. And from my understanding, what she's told us, she's received $187,000, but that's $187,000 to be split for jurisdictions within the 10-county within this 10-county Council of Governments region. She had indicated early on that those monies could be utilized to assist us to write this hazard mitigation grant program. That they could write the grant itself. Now, one of the things early on that she told me was that they really, this would be their first grant proposal of this type that they've ever written. In the past, they've written grants for things like safe rooms and things of that nature, but they've never written a grant for a flood buyout. She actually directed me to the city of Branson. She said that the city of Branson was working with the Mickey Davis. And about the same time, I contacted SEMA as well, as Ron had indicated. And one of the things that SEMA had really indicated is they're holding a training session the first part of August on this benefit cost analysis. And they felt, and he just told me point blank, he said this is a very complex program. He said, really, we're recommending to local jurisdictions that they either go through a council of governments or that they contact an independent contractor. And his feel was, he said, you're probably going to write a flood buyout this one time where they're hopeful if we utilize either a council of governments or an individual contractor, that this is potentially something that they may do on an ongoing basis. In talking to Diane May, she said that they would be happy to provide this service to us, but really she felt that this gentleman that was working with the city of Branson might have a lot more of a background. What we found out is Ron and I both attended Branson's work session on Thursday. They had a meeting with this gentleman. His name is Mickey Davis, and he's with the State and Local Emergency Management Consultants Company. And he has actually indicated to them, and he sent us a preliminary letter. I've put it together in this packet of information. And basically, he's indicated to both that he would be willing to take this program and basically run with the ball. He would be willing to do everything. The first deadline we have is we have to submit a notice of interest to SEMA by August 17th. He's even indicated that he could complete this notice of interest, that he would complete the application, that he could complete the benefit cost analysis, and even administer the grant, that he could take it from beginning to end. One of the things that came up in the Branson meeting was, of course, there's been a real concern about the time frame that's required on these grant programs. We've seen a number of other jurisdictions that applied for funding in 2008 that are just now getting their funding. He really indicated to Branson that, and to us as well, that he could, that he felt that he could get this through in much less than a two-year time frame. He said that he's done buyouts in Kansas and Nebraska, Iowa, a number of other states, and he really indicated that he felt that he knew what hurdles he had to jump over, and he felt like he could get it done in that time period. The city of Branson's kind of preliminarily indicated in this work session, I think that they likely will go ahead and hire him.
What's the cost?
Well, what he's indicated to the city of Branson is a figure of, I believe, $6,000.
Right.
Or, what was it, 5% per?
Right. And we talked to him late Friday night, again, to try to get him narrowed down on that as a slash purchasing agent as well. I'm sensitive to how we bid this or what the next process or step is, given the short time frame we had to work with. The key on his costs will entail whether or not, or how many actual numbers of property that we have that fall into those various categories. If he has to do a BCA, then we're looking at obviously a higher expense, and the range could go from 6 to 10 to in the 20s.
But for the city of Branson, $6,000 or 5% of the total project cost, whichever is least, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. The difference is exactly like Ron indicated. The city of Branson's looking strictly at substantially damaged properties. Now, they have a little different scenario in that they have a lot of secondary residences which don't qualify for this program. The county has most of the counties are primary residences that would qualify for the program. One of the things we've tried to do, we didn't hear back from a number of these property owners initially. And what we've tried to do is we've actually tried basically to make phone calls, bang on doors. We're trying to extend the offer to any of these folks that might be interested. At this point, there are 8 people that have been found to be substantially damaged that are interested. And as of Friday, there are 14 people that are not substantially damaged that are also interested in the buyout program as well. Now, one of the things I wanted to bring up, and this is just something that came to my attention from SEMA late last week, is of the non-substantially damaged folks, they've kind of indicated to me, and this was not something that I'd heard until late last week, that this buyout would have to be in the same geographic region. That I took it that all these homes would have to be kind of in the same area. That may be an issue on a couple of these, not a large number. The majority of these are in the Foggy River Road area, but there are a couple that are outside of that area, and I don't know if they will allow us to apply for those, to be honest with you. I mean, it's just something that was brought up last Thursday or Friday, talking with SEMA, was they said it has to be right in that same geographic area. They don't necessarily have to be contiguous, but they usually look at a buyout of one area or one location. So that's one thing I wanted to get a little more clarification from them on.
I just find it so difficult to think that they would discriminate against a couple of properties because they're not in the same area when all have suffered flood damage. I think we ought to keep pressing to see if we get a little different answer to make sure that we offer the same opportunity to everybody that was a flood victim.
I agree.
In speaking with these gentlemen, guys, this individual that they are talking about is going to be in Branson making presentations and working Thursday.
Yes.
Would it be possible for us, and that's what I'm asking this morning, to talk with him on Thursday morning? And I have another question for you. Would it be possible for him to be here at 9 in the morning?
I feel sure that would be better. I think his meetings in Branson are in the afternoon regardless, so I'd be happy to contact him and check with his schedule.
Well, I know, and originally we were talking 10 or 10:15 if it was possible. We've got a conflict difference with BOE, so we're going to have to move BOE forward a little in order to take this individual. But, guys, I mean, when we take a look at the amount of days that are left, what this guy offers, and there are a number of companies that do this across the U.S. This, to the best of my knowledge, is the closest. They have a tremendous reputation. They take you from point A to point Z. They do everything that is required of FEMA and SEMA. And I think it would behoove us to talk with the gentleman.
What's our process to put this out for bid then?
Number one, it's my understanding if we can come to an agreement that's under the bid level, we could hire. If it's over what the bid level is that's required, we'd have to go to bid, which is, a two-week process?
Right.
And by then, quite frankly, we're at the deadline.
And I don't want to speak for him. I mean, this is maybe more of a question for him on Thursday, that he did express that even if we had to take this through the formal bid process, that he still likely could even put together this notice of interest form for us, was kind of my understanding, that potentially.
Yeah, but we can't offer that opportunity.
Yeah.
Or to him, unless it's under the, I guess, probably the amount that the state has set or that we have set of $4,500 or $4,900, one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we've talked about
absolutely. Are you to understand it that way?
I'm sorry.
That it would be, we couldn't accept this unless we went through the bid process, unless he changed his quote from a $6,000, I think $4,500. Anything over $4,500 has to be bid, doesn't it?
Right.
And is it $4,500, or did we move that to $4,900 something?
Well,
or?
I think, isn't it $4,500, Ron?
It's
$4,500.
Yeah. I don't think it's ours. Is it our choice to move it? It's the state, isn't it?
Let me do a little research on that, because I've got some mixed information.
Okay.
I've heard the RSMO changed to $6,000.
That's what that's the number that I was thinking they switched it to.
They did, yeah.
That's what I heard. I'm not positive about that. It went from, it moved from the $4,500, Jim, either last year.
Moved to the $4,500?
Moved past it. It's been $4,500 since I've been here, and then it moved last year, according to state statute, I think, is what it is.
To 6,000.
So. Whatever. I mean, as long as we're within the rules, that's fine with me. So, Ron, you're going to try to rearrange Thursday morning then?
I went over and I talked to Christy. The gentleman that we had scheduled, or she had scheduled for BOE's, got 100 parcels of property that he's representing. She's given him a three-hour block. If we move her up 45 minutes... I think we can still take the gentleman and hear this individual at 9 o'clock, provided he could come at 9.
I don't think that's a problem, I'll verify that as soon as I'm finished here.
Is that okay, Dan? just a hearing?
I guess. I don't want to get into this deal like we got into before on the one other issue where we hear proposals from certain individuals and they end up bidding it and have a controversy there.
We can have 4 or 5 come in if they want to chat with us about what services they provide, as long as we correctly go through the bidding procedure when it's required. That's my feeling anyway.
I don't have any problem with this.
Here's my major concern. August 17th is the deadline, whereby we have to have submitted what properties, an approximate value of those properties, whether or not it's substantial only or substantial and unsubstantial, and potentially a benefits-cost analysis completed if we have non-substantially damaged properties included.
Completed applications, as I understand it. That's the deadline for completed applications.
It wasn't what I heard.
Benefits cost analysis. Really, this is.
I thought it was just the application of intent.
Yeah, uh-huh. it's for this notice of interest.
Yes.
But on this notice of interest form, exactly correct.
You have to have every home.
Yes.
You have to have value established.
Well, there's a
number of things that have to be included in that.
Absolutely important.
And after hearing that SEMA is saying, go get one of these companies or go through Council of Governments, and then having Council of Governments going, you know, we've really never done this type of grant application, go after one of these experts. That's why I'm inclined to at least talk with one of them.
One of the things I didn't bring up this gentleman lives. The company's out of Topeka, Kansas, but he lives in Indian Point a portion of the year, and so he's in the area. One of the things he expressed was that their company has done a large number of buyouts, and I've done quite a bit of research, and they've been successful with some pretty large-scale buyouts in a lot of cities. But they really want to get more established in Missouri. And essentially, he can keep his costs fairly low because he resides here resides in the area part of the time.
I'm fine with hearing what he's got to say. We've got to get as long as this money is money that's being paid through this grant to. That Diane May is seeking for us, and I'm ready to move forward as long as they're paying. The money comes from there. And
well, as far as I'm concerned, if she's the one that hires the individual for us, for Branson, for any other political entity, then it's all on her shoulders, and we just accept it,
yeah.
Provided it's within the parameters of the law. But can we try to schedule him at least for discussion?
Oh, yeah.
Thursday morning?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes. Thanks, guys, for that. I mean, they do the FEMA's notice of interest, right?
Yes.
Everything that I was reading about him, does the grant application, the project management, he does sits through the demolition, he does all the project wrap-up, everything.
He does the closing procedures on the real estate transactions that will be required after the fact.
He basically
handles it all. Demolition, everything, like you said.
Yeah, he takes care of every aspect of this. One of the things I really appreciated that I didn't bring up, and there's kind of a sheet, and he tried to help the city of Branson to kind of break down what he indicated to us is that he would actually even meet with each individual property owner. Much like the county, the city of Branson, it is looking at, you know, there's a real concern with where this 25% is going to come from. But one of the things they looked at is even if they were to obtain the 75%, the thing that's kind of interesting, there's a sheet in your handout here, and he can probably explain this in a lot more detail Thursday, but basically he tried to indicate if there was a $200,000 home or a $100,000 home, what these homeowners would actually receive at the end of this grant. And one of the things he indicated to us is that he normally sits down with each individual homeowner, plugs in their actual figures to give them an approximate dollar figure as to what they would see at the end of this before he has them sign on saying they want to move forward. And so that way at the front end, they know what amount of money they're likely to see. Now, one of the things he brought up, or one of the things that he really indicated, is if they had flood insurance, even receiving the 75%, there's a good chance, like in his example here, there's one example to the far right where the folks had flood insurance. They received money through this increased cost of compliance. And basically at the end of this, they would receive 91% of the market value of their house. Between flood insurance and this grant money. So it is possible, even if they're just receiving the 75% that the federal government pays, that if they had flood insurance, they may receive close to the market value of their house. And like I said, that's the thing I really appreciated is he said that their company and their people would sit down with each of these folks individually, would go through their specific scenarios, and that's something that's been difficult for us to accomplish just because, it takes a great deal of staff time to sit down one-on-one with these folks, and he basically plugs all the numbers in and gives them a final estimate.
I don't mean to rush you, gentlemen, but
right.
we're waiting on this individual from Columbia.
I don't know that we have to.
Well, if he's driving all the way from Columbia, it would be discourteous perhaps not to.
If you want to recess until he shows up.
No.
Okay. Public comment, these individuals were public comment.
We'll take them, and then we could come back to Mr.
Yeah. Whatever you want to do. Do you want to go? Postpone to a definite time and just give 15 minutes?
I think that's about. I'll make a motion to do so if we need it.
Well, postpone. We don't know for sure what time that they're going to arrive if they had car trouble, but do you want to shoot for 8:45?
Yes.
So you're making a motion to postpone to a definite time of 8:45 the discussion regarding Malachi?
Yes.
Second motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to postpone to the definite time of 8:45 a discussion with Malincott. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Do you gentlemen have more comments about
subject
matter they've been chatting about?
At this time, anyway, unless there are questions for us.
9 o'clock if possible.
Okay.
And the sooner I know that, the sooner I can try to get them started with BOE at 10 instead of 11.
I have an answer for you when I return.
I do have one last thing. On Thursday, I will have prepared a spreadsheet that breaks out facts about all these individuals, how many had flood insurance, how many didn't. I was going to try to have these ranked in some type of order based on the flooding depth and based on the percentage as far as when we did this, these assessments. I'll try to have some type of ranking.
Bob, that's for him. That isn't for that information is not for the county commission, but for him as he makes the presentation.
Well, at some point, here's the reason we want to do
for
this.
Who?
The individual that we're going to be speaking with.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, what would be helpful to us, because the decision is whether or not we only go after those that sustain a great deal of damage or those that sustain less than a great deal of damage. And the only way to do that, I think, is by prioritizing and finding out which ones would still fit if, in fact, we choose some of those so that we can be helpful to them. And that's what you're talking about, right?
And that's what we're looking at doing. Right. It is trying to establish some type of priority list
But because in all probability, if we take all of them, we're not going to hit the mark and nobody's going to receive funding.
That is what SEMA has indicated, is that there is a good chance, unfortunately, that if we apply for everyone that's interested, that we may not hit the ratio that we need to hit in order to be approved.
That's what I understood in the Branson meeting that I went to. That's the way it sounded to me, too. Very complicated.
So the process that they're going through is to try to see if there are some that we might be able to pull in, which then we also need to do the benefits cost analysis, the BCA, right?
Right. Yes.
For all properties.
And these folks have indicated that they could complete that at the front end and basically give us an idea.
This company, you mean? That,
yes.
That's coming through? Okay.
Yes. Of where we would stand. You know, are we going to have to look at, I mean, are there going to be properties that just aren't going to qualify? And I hate to say that, but that is a possibility, unfortunately. I mean, it really is. But I think we have to base
that's
that.
That's important to know, right, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think we have to base that on severity of damage, really. I mean, I think that's the fairest way to approach this.
You find out, Bob, about this other dealer. We'll talk to him. I'm not going to let somebody out here in a area that doesn't pertain to one particular area, and this person over here has significant damage and he's not involved in it. We'll have a review of their process before we...
Can that Huddleston give you the answer to that?
Yes. Yes.
Let's get a hold of her.
Yes. And she is supposed to be back in touch with me today. She indicated that Friday. She's been driving around the state for the last 3 weeks. I've been trying to get answers.
She was last week, she was over in the Cape Girardeau area. This
yes.
Yeah.
Is that Melissa?
Sheila?
Is it Sheila.
Sheila? Yes.
Sheila Huddleston.
Yeah. She's the same then. She's the lady that spoke over there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. We have at 8:30 scheduled public comment. Are you gentlemen here for public comment?
Yes.
Would you like to come up to the microphone here at the podium? And Ron and Bob, we'll see you back at hopefully 8:45.
See me.
I'll see you. Okay. Good morning.
Morning, sir. Good morning. Appreciate y'all's time. He's the one supposed to be doing this, but he's not as big a mouth as I am. But anyway, I'm the scoutmaster, a scout troop here in Forsyth.
Uh-huh.
This is Tyler Marker. He's working on his Eagle project. He's trying to decide what to do. And we talked to the mayor here in Forsyth, and he first suggested that this area that's right across 160 here, that he go in and clean that up and plant flowers, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we went and met with the committee, the troop committee, to see if that's something they would approve for him to do as his Eagle project.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it's been blown out of proportion from there in that they feel that we need to make a veterans memorial area. And when we proceeded to talk to the state, come to find out the state's actually talking about cutting some of that corner off and doing some work out there, so therefore that's not going to happen. So we got to looking around to see if some areas that we might make a veterans memorial here in Forsyth. And the most perfect area is right out here in front of the courthouse where this flagpole is. And I have some pictures. We did go to Aurora, to the cemetery, and they have a beautiful one up there, and I do have some pictures I'd like to share with y'all.
What's the young man's name?
Tyler Marker. By the way, he is my grandson.
Oh,
I was wondering how you got away with that crack about the...
Anyway, and what the troop has decided they would like to do is for him to do his part of the Eagle project, and then they proceed and take this over from that point and go ahead and do something similar to what they have there. And they will be responsible for everything. As far as I'm concerned, the county should not have to furnish anything other than maybe if we could get, you know, a little bit of help with equipment and some of that kind of stuff. But as far as money is concerned, we've already talked to concrete companies in Branson. They're willing to donate concrete. I've talked to Glenstone Block in Springfield. And the way this is normally set up and the way that one's set up is these brick that those things are inscribed on are $30 a piece.
Okay.
What the troop wants to do is they're wanting to charge more for it to help get monies together to help maintain that out there. And but in order to do this, we'd like to use that flagpole. Mm-hmm. And we're also talking about getting two other flagpoles donated, because I've already talked to the VFW and the Elks Club, and they're more than willing to help with it. And we've talked to the Patriot Guard, and they're excited about it. So I know there can be a lot of help. Money's come in from other areas, but...
How big area are you talking about? I mean, you're talking about concrete and the brick and...
Well, once it it can mount to out here where this flagpole is, it could actually end up taking that whole area eventually.
Well, what you're showing in these pictures is a lot bigger than the area that's out here.
Actually, if you were there at... That area is actually not but like 75 by 100. It looks bigger, but it's not but about 75 by 100 feet. And that corner out there is not... is really bigger than that. And I don't care if it's out, well, I mean, we don't care if it's out there. It's just that, and he's going to do an Eagle project someplace.
Right.
And, but I feel, we feel that the city of Forsyth needs some area to, and it don't just have to be veterans. It could even be police and firemen and whatever, you know. But we're just here for suggestions as to where we can do it. We talked about over at the new park.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's kind of a hidden area. We'd like to be an area to where everybody can see it. And I talked to one of you gentlemen, and I think it was you.
You visited with me.
And he had mentioned something about that y'all talked about the hallway in here or something, uh-huh. Making a Taney County Memorial type situation.
That's exactly,
and,
yeah.
The troop kind of felt like that they would like to have an area that people could actually see all the time.
I visited with this gentleman and talked to him about this. I actually tried to review areas that would be visible to the public. If I have been looking.
Okay.
I thought down here that in the area that we have, as we have a V, as you turn, make the road up Shorty Cooper Street, and the sheriff's department on that hillside there where it is actually, I mean, people driving by have an absolute view of what's going on, other than having it on a different street or something
right.
like that. It's been Mr. Houseman's, wish. We've had conversations as a commission about using the hallway out here as a remembrance to our war veterans
mm-hmm.
that have lost their lives that are Taney County citizens.
Right.
This goes along, as I mentioned to you, with
right.
what we would like to do there. I would think that maybe if you would look at that place down in that area, I would be willing to have these gentlemen, especially this is quite that's impressive what you've got put together there, the pictures of what you've got put together. It's on a sloped hillside so that everybody drove by wouldn't be looking at a flat
right.
symbol, but they
right.
would be looking at the whole thing. In a,
now, if we're driving down 160, are you talking about the sloped area right in front of the jail?
Mm-hmm. On the other end where it V's up, it kind of tapers off
right,
the road right,
right
there.
Right, and that's fine. But the troop committee, when they put this thing together, they decided that, or they felt like, that it would be nice if it was an area that people could see all the time. And we mentioned Taney County to start with, but there is some people here in Forsyth that their dad might have lived in Texas, but yet those people lived here in Taney County all their life. And they would like to have some place that they could see their dad's name on a memorial. And that's one reason they mentioned not just Taney County people, but it could be anybody.
That wasn't what I was saying, sir. Well, I was talking about what we were thinking about doing.
Right, no, I understood what
you
were
doing.
Yes.
Kind
and
of
that,
combination
and
of
yes.
the two
yes.
Would be something.
Right.
This is for lost
right.
Veterans that have lost their
right.
wars, their lives in service to the country, and yours is a memorial to all vets
exactly.
in a certain area, and,
exactly.
and I'm 100% behind you. the location out here in front is something that I'd have to really think about because of maintenance,
right.
Access.
Oh, I agree with you.
It would have been nice when we did this construction of the new facility down here if we'd have had this on mine and we could have done it in with that part of it. It would have been great.
But the only things we've got to have is, number one, we've got to have water and we've got to have electricity to be able to do this.
One question for you. Have you looked at the spot on the front where we have the cannon in the front of the building?
Yes, I have thought about that, and that would be a good place, except it's real shaded, and I don't know how well flowers and that type of stuff's going to do. I'd have to have a landscaper look at that. That's a beautiful area.
Well, and we've kind of dedicated that corner for, you know, that's why we have the cannon there. My thought is either there or even, what about the spot across for where the flagpole's not, the other spot across the sidewalk?
Well, and that would be good, too. The only reason we thought about that spot is because the flagpole is already standing there, you know. And, you know, and that's minute there, that part of it. Number one is the troop committee decided they would like to have number one someplace that it was visible. Would really like that spot over there across the road was ideal because, you know, you can see it all the time. However, when I talked to the state, they did talk like that they might take some of that corner off, and we didn't want to start something over there, and then it'd be tore up.
Right.
So anyway, that's where we're at. We would just like for y'all to come up with some areas. We don't care where it's at. At least you know what we have in mind now, because he is going to do an Eagle project someplace. It don't necessarily even have to be the veterans thing. It's just that whenever this started, that's how it all come about. And so anyway, we appreciate y'all's time.
Well, this is time sensitive. We'll have to make a decision on this. As I visited with him on this, he has to have this completed in a certain amount of
time.
It
is very time sensitive because he's got to have this completed before his 18th birthday, which is the 25th of September.
Okay.
And so now his part of it can be rather quick, and it could be an ongoing thing from then on. But that's the reason we've got to decide where he's going to do his project. It's because he's got to have his part of it done before the 25th of September.
Okay.
Do you have, do we have your contact information?
Yes, we put it on the paper out there.
Okay, perfect.
And actually, his name's on there, and then I put my name down as the contact information because I'm probably easier to get a hold of than he is. Okay?
Appreciate it
very much. Gentlemen, we appreciate
you. Thank you very much.
And we'll be talking to you later on.
Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Dan, do you know where they're from here in the county?
No. I assumed he was from here before that because of the way he talked to me.
That's quite an undertaking, becoming Eagle Scout. I think that's great.
I had asked him to come before us in public comment. I thought maybe the press would pick up on that for the young man. And I knew we didn't have time to schedule just an actual meeting with him.
Does anybody have meeting minutes?
Yeah, he's got them here. Did you see the corrections, Jim?
No, I have not seen any of that.
There you go. Let him look at both.
There's two sets.
I did.
Excuse me. Ron, come on in.
Have you called them recently to see where they are? I know they had car trouble, but anybody called them since then?
I checked upstairs and they hadn't heard. There's a call here.
The discussion was the approval of the Malico contract. I think that's the way it's posted, isn't it?
Actually, it's posted purchasing.
Well, okay.
We've got him over those things, so.
No,
I guess that's why it was posted that way. When you go back out, Jillian, would you have Ron come in? Thank you. Did anyone notice if we had any other public comment?
I'll check. Is that the
He spoke. Call the secretary and see if they've got an updated time.
Yes, sir.
Ron,
left a voicemail.
Pardon?
Had to leave him a voicemail.
You left him a voicemail? Why don't you sit down and let's bring up the issues, if there are issues at hand, because maybe this is something we just work through very quickly.
Sure. On Malico?
Yes, sir. This is an individual that we went through a bidding procedure. They were awarded a bid, right?
Right.
And the question is?
I had a couple of questions as I was in communication with Mr. Malico last week about the first posting of notice for request for proposal. I saw an item or two in the file to answer my question about the award letter, and I contacted Commissioner Strahan, and he looked at it with me, and we agreed that there were a few questions that needed clarification, and so we put it on the agenda for this morning to open this folder up and just discuss it. And since then, I have talked with our attorney, our county attorney, and also read the contract, received the signed contract late Friday, and basically my questions were very technical, and they have been resolved as far as any concerns I might have regarding the verbiage in the award letter. Frank has cleared that up for me, and I just left it on the agenda for the purpose of Commissioner Strahan maybe having some questions.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you have him come up here with you, Ron? But Dan, do you have any specific questions?
What I had was a... we were asked to approve this in a while you gentlemen were gone, and I didn't have enough information on what was sent in, and you say you already have a letter now and have a contract now.
Correct.
That you received Friday.
Correct.
Okay. I didn't have any of that information to be reviewed. Had after I'd visited with Ron, I had some concerns also, and if those have been answered, then I'm fine with it. I did not want to call for an approval of something that I could not see the letter or the contract. And that was my main concern. And he received this Friday, and we had the Thursday was when we had it posted for approval.
Right.
And so this is the bid that was sent out, which we approved the RFQ. Now he has a bid proposal for the contract. Am I right, sir?
Yes.
Right.
Well, we have the award is specific toward design services.
Correct.
Not toward completion of the entire project. So.
Right.
And the next step, and I would ask the commission to perhaps assist me in this next last question I have concerning this issue, and that is when I send the request for proposal notice to the newspaper, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page with regards to our dates, because being fairly new, some of this stuff, there's a mandatory meeting that Mr. Malko wants to have here. Pre-proposal hearing that I'm going to put in the paper, and I just want to make sure the dates are right, that because we've moved those dates around a couple of times.
Is
you and I.
Is that a meeting that's in front of the county commission?
No.
No. Okay.
It'll be for the contractors that want to bid the project, and we'll walk through, show them the facility prior to them making their proposal.
Will that be during the month of July or 1st of August, or when is that scheduled for?
We have it now scheduled for July 28th at 10 a.m.
So that's
July 28th, Thursday.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that date needs to be revised, obviously, because we didn't send this to the paper yet, given this
right.
clarification.
Right. And the room's not available and all
right.
those other things. Okay.
Jim, just to clarify, I had several concerns like that of when we were going to do this. I mean, if we were going to be available for any questions, I knew we were in BOE.
Right.
A phone conference call is not the way to approve this contract, and that's the reason I asked it to be put on it today.
Sure. No. Sure.
What's your proposed date schedule now?
Well, normally, at him taking over as the contractor, he handles the bidding process, and I would recommend that for my purposes to getting the newspapers in compliance, we would need to probably 2 weeks out from that date, and we by the RSMO only need to post this once in the paper.
Is that something that can go in this week's paper and do it 2 weeks out? Is that what you prefer?
I could get it in for Saturday, because the deadlines are. I don't know if I can get it. I might be able to get it this morning for this week's paper, but I'm probably more than likely by the time it gets reviewed and approved by the people on the end of the newspaper, I'm thinking Saturday. So, and since it's, August the 11th is when the deadline is what Mr. Malicote had asked for, I would say that if we move both of those dates 2 weeks to be safe, if we have to do it sooner than that, I guess we could try, but I'd rather have a two-week buffer on it. And that's for this mandatory pre-bid meeting.
And this is strictly for the temp control? as you say, you're going to be going through all the buildings that the county has, or just the two buildings here, or how?
No, just the, this campus here.
This campus right here?
Right. And what I had set it up originally, when I thought we had more time, was the 28th, which is this Thursday, which is too soon now, obviously. And then 2 weeks later after that would be the bid. And we'd most likely have time postponing it a week or two, whatever your pleasure.
Is Thursday a better day for you to have the pre-bid, this pre-bid meeting? Is our Thursdays good for you? I mean, we could make it for Thursday, make that Thursday the 11th, and then...
Well, you're not going to have your 2 weeks if you don't get it in the paper till the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your bid requirements are.
Well, this is for a meeting now. In,
right.
You know.
This would be a pre-bid conference.
Oh, I see.
For this first time, and just getting the contractors.
But
to
aren't you also supposed to notice up what the pre-bid conference is?
I'm sorry.
Aren't you also supposed to run a notice of when the pre-bid conference is going to be held?
Yes.
And how much time is required under law for that to be in the paper before you have the pre-conference meeting?
Minimum 2 weeks, 15 days actually.
If you get it in the paper this Wednesday, then you can do it on the 11th. If you don't, then you're going to have to do it the following, like Monday the 15th or something.
I'd say let's shoot for Monday the 15th then, just to be safe.
And then they'll find you a room if you're going to have very many contractors.
I'll take care of that.
Okay.
You know, I'll get you a room for that. And I'll assist you any way I can. After that, our deadline for accepting the proposals, the 29th, 2 weeks after your
Nikki, pre-bid. Did we have you scheduled before 9?
No.
No, okay.
I'd rather do it the 30th on a Tuesday. Contractors don't like Mondays and Fridays for some reason.
Is that okay with you all? Okay, 15th and 30th.
Okay. I'll have my office manager email you those two dates, and you can just have it all.
I can take care of it. I've got that. I've got that right there, and I'll go upstairs and get out and down that right now. That's all I have, gentlemen. Anything else? Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. That all you need from me, too?
Yep.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Danny, you have something else?
No, I was just going to visit with Ron later. I was just going to visit with you later on this.
Just for clarification. We have the transfer sheet.
But I have a key to transfer to a vote.
Thanks.
We're okay.
Can we get a 3-minute recess?
Stand in recess till 9 o'clock.